I sound correctly hooked up? Thank you. Now, we have been studying together the Holy Spirit available to every believer. Last Wednesday, we looked at what I thought was a fascinating subject, the Holy Spirit as the composer, the writer of the Bible. But interestingly enough, this is among the oldest books in the Bible, in the world. The one who wrote the book is alive and present today to tell you what he meant by the book. I like that. Shakespeare isn't here. Milton isn't here. Julius Caesar isn't here. Well, even some of the writers of believers' books. Darby isn't here. William Kelly isn't here. But the one who wrote this book is present with us to tell us exactly what he meant. To me, that's thrilling. And if I don't know and if I lack in wisdom, it isn't the fault of the Holy Spirit. And as we shall see at a later date, it isn't the fault of the book, because the book is perfect. It's my fault. Now today we want to talk about the chief character of the Bible. When I first came here in 1979, Brother Willis Myers, now with the Lord, and I used to go to the local prison to speak to the inmates. And one evening I asked, who is the chief character in the Bible? And every hand went up, man. But man is not the chief character of the Bible. Well, a lot is said about him. More truth is said about him in the Bible than in any other book. But man is not the chief character. You remember when you went to school and you had to write a book report? You had to write on the chief character. Who's the chief character in the Bible? Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. The chief character. And if you miss him when you read the Bible, then you've missed the point. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Then he said unto them, the two on the way to Emmaus, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? Now, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Who's the chief character? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I say again, anytime you open this book and you read it and you don't see the Lord Jesus Christ, you've missed the point. Verse 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets concerning me. Did Moses write about the Lord Jesus Christ? He doesn't call his name. Did he write about the Lord Jesus Christ? Why, sure he did. Way back there in the book of Genesis, when he spoke to the serpent and to Eve and told them concerning the bruising of the heel and the head. And then in that beautiful book of Leviticus, that's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are pictures. In the book of Exodus, when the Israelites were delivered through the Red Sea, that's about the Lord Jesus Christ delivering us. All the scriptures are about him. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 39. Search the scriptures. Some translations read, you search the scriptures. I like this translation. Search them. That's what the Bereans did. And we shall come to that at a future date. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they, the scriptures, are they which testify of me. Who's the chief character? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of the synonyms by which he's called. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Some of the synonyms by which he's called. You see, this chief character in the Bible is so large, you can't find one name for him. He has a lot of names. And they're all significant. Matthew 1, verse 21. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. John chapter 1. Some of the names of the main character. As I said, he's so large and so all-inclusive that one name won't do. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He's also known as the Word. Now, that's a nice name. The purpose of words is to communicate. And he's the great communicator between God and man. Matthew chapter 16, please. Another name. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 16. Verse 13, let's start. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Son of Man, that's another name for him. They said, some say you are John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Oh, I like that. The Messiah. The long-awaited. But notice next, the Son of the Living God. Again, one of those prison experiences. In speaking along this line, I said that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God. And there was a young man who got up. Jesus, can't, God doesn't have a son. He walked out and slammed the door. He was angry. And after the meeting, I found him and I said, what's your religion? What do you believe? And he told me. I said, does your religion teach you to slam the door when you don't agree with somebody? He got the point and he apologized. The Son of God. 3 weeks ago, my granddaughter called me and said, I'm talking to Miles, 9 years old. I just told him that Jesus was the Son of God, and he wants to know who was his mother. Is that reasonable? Is that a reasonable question? If his father is God, who's his mother? And she wanted to know, how can I get around this? What should I say to him? And I gave her some advice. Son of God. What does Son of God mean? Does God have a son? He does. But what does Son of God mean? So many are confused about it. It as the 9-year-old asked, if God is his father, who's his mother? A very rational question from a 9-year-old. And beloved, you see these children here? They understand much more than you think. As I have told you before, at 4 years old, I understood perfectly that I wasn't saved, I'd go to hell. I knew that. And by the time I was 6, I settled the matter. It's nice to see all these children here and to have them learn the truth of God. But this matter of sons, 1 Samuel 25 and verse 17. What does Son of God mean? We're all going to go through here a little study, the way I like to study. Now, you may not prefer this way of studying, but I like to do it this way. What does Son mean? Son of God. 1 Samuel 25, verse 17. You know, Satan doesn't like this subject. And he's causing these pages to stick together. Because he doesn't want us to know the truth. But we're going to find him. 25, 17. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt. Evil is determined against our master and against all his household. He is such a son of Belial. What does that mean? Does that mean that Belial was his father? Does that mean that Belial sired him? Does that mean that Belial was a part of the products of conception? Luke chapter... No, we won't go to that. We'll come to that a little later. Mark chapter 2, son of Belial. Was Belial his father? Mark chapter 2. Verse 19. No, I have that marked wrong. Chapter 3, excuse me. That's the effect of age, beloved. And if you live long enough, it's going to happen to you. Mark chapter 3, verse 17. Start with 16. The Lord is naming. Simon, he surnamed Peter. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, he surnamed them Boanerges, which is sons of thunder. Does that mean that the thunder was the father of these two boys? The little lady says no. Thunder doesn't give birth to anybody. But they were sons of thunder. What does it mean? It means that they were characterized by a thunderous disposition. And when we read Son of God, it means he was characterized by everything that characterized God. Son of God. God did have a son. But let's read a few others. I like the one in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 36. And Joseph whom by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted the son of consolation. Barnabas was also known as the son. Does that mean the consolation was his father? Could hardly mean. It means he was characterized by a consoling disposition. Son of God means that he was characterized by godliness. And all that characterized God characterized him. Son of God was a name. Now, genealogy. Every 2 or 3 weeks or so, I receive a piece in the mail, "Would you like to know your family tree? We'll trace the name Garnes all the way back for you." And I write the back and tell them I'm not interested. Do you know that far more interesting and far more important than your ancestry is your destiny? Where you came from, that's not so important. It's where you're going. And so I don't worry about ancestry. They tell me that the name Garnes comes from Scotland. I know where I'm going, and that's what counts. But let's look at the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at his ancestry. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Matthew 1 and verse 1. The book of the generations, the descent, the family tree of Jesus Christ. This is family tree. Everybody ready? The son of David, the son of Abraham. He's traced all the way back to Abraham. When you come to the Gospel of Mark, they don't tell you what his family tree is. I wonder why. Mark presents him as a servant. And when you employ a servant, you don't ask him what's his family tree. You want him to serve. You're not interested in where he came from. And so in Mark, there's no family tree. But come with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 3. Son of Adam. Son of Abraham, I should say. Luke chapter 3. And it's interesting to note, you read it when you go home. Start at verse 23. Telling son of all the derivation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which the son of God. In Mark, he's traced to Abraham, rather in Matthew. In Mark, he isn't traced at all. And in Luke, he's traced to Adam. Now let's look at the good one. John chapter 1. You know that one. Know it from memory. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And here he's traced right back to God. Not Adam, not Abraham, son of God. That's his lineage. That's his family tree. His parents. Who were his parents? Matthew 1. Now you see, folks, I'm having you go through something that I like. I like to turn the pages and search the scriptures. I know many people don't like to have to keep turning pages. They like to stay on one page and finish reading it. But I would suggest to you, if you're going to learn the book, you better turn the pages. And you learn some wonderful things. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child. Of Adam? Of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Ghost. Now come with me to Genesis chapter 3. I'm only going to make a few remarks. Now when you go home, check out what I'm going to say. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Oh, the Bible is fascinating, folks. You talk about reading something that thrills you. If you read the book, it'll thrill you. I told you about my friend who was reading in the Macy's, New York, in the dressing room. He thought nobody was there, and suddenly he said, "Wow!" He was reading his New Testament. Have you ever said "Wow" when you're reading the Testament, reading the Bible? If you haven't, you'll miss something. There are a lot of wows in here. It'll make you jump out of your chair. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and, please note, her seed. Now, seed in the Bible is always reckoned to men, not to women. Now check it when you go home. Get your concordance and look up seed. See how many times women have seed. Seed is reckoned to men. Yet he says, her seed. What does that mean? It's going to be different. This is going to be a different child. Her seed. Now, I find that fascinating. And I hope you will too. Way early in the Bible, God says, her seed. But seed is not attributed to women, it's attributed to men. This child is going to be different. This child, as we read in Galatians, is very God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just read before that His paternal ancestor was the Holy Spirit. Now, when was Jesus born? The Bible doesn't tell us. Oh, I know they celebrated at Christmas. But the nearest we can come a better figure is October. When was he born? When does the Bible say he was born? The Bible doesn't tell you when he was born. And yet there's an interesting thing. The calendar. The calendar is dated B.C. and A.D. before Christ and Anno Domino. How do you explain it? How do you explain that the calendar, that you write a check, you are acknowledging that the Lord Jesus Christ was here. You read your daily paper, the date is on there, dated from the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. How do you explain it? The calendar. Many men have tried to have the calendar named after them. The Lord never tried, but it just happened. Isn't that significant? Doesn't that do something to you? Who is this man? Every time you write a check, you're acknowledging him by the date on the check. Who is this man? Let's go on. What did he look like? What did the Lord Jesus Christ look like? How tall was he? How much did he weigh? Chief character. What color was he? Oh. Years ago, I went to Denver, Colorado. And I was staying at the home of an older sister. And she said, "Brother, I have a question for you." I said, "Yes, sister." "What color was Jesus?" I don't blame you for smiling. I said, "Sister, if I told you the color of Jesus, how would that make you a better believer?" Later that evening, a young sister came. "Oh, you're from New York? I'm so glad to meet you. I have a question for you." The same question. What color was Jesus? And yet, you know, I spoke to a brother, Brother Doogie. He's now with the Lord. Very fine brother. And we had an hour discussion on the color of Jesus. But it wasn't a question of naturally what color was he and that sort of thing. This was a spiritual discussion. What were the color of his eyes, and did he have blonde hair or black hair? The Bible doesn't tell us any of these. What did he look like? How much education did he have? Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. "It came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, 'Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty words? Is not this the carpenter's son?'" What school did he go to? Where did he get all his knowledge? Chief character. Don't you find him fascinating? He's a wonderful man to me. But not only was he a natural man, he was divine. Speaking to a lady the other day, "Oh, I believe he was a good man and a great man, but I don't believe that he was God." What does the Bible say? In Luke 1, we read that holy thing. Anybody here was conceived as holy? That holy thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, there's so much about the Lord, the chief character in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "He hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us." He knew no sin. Why does the baby tell a lie? You don't have to teach a child to tell a lie, do you? Why? He knows sin. The Lord knew no sin. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 22. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just read, he knew no sin. Verse 22 said, he did no sin. Is that true of you? Not true of me. Knew no sin, did no sin. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 5, you know that he was manifested to take away sin, and in him is no sin. He's divine. The God-man. God manifested in flesh. And I like to put it this way. He's my man. Is he your man? He's mine. What a man. The chief character in the Bible. Now the time is moving quickly, so I must move quickly. As you see, I'm skipping a lot of pages here. Death. Do you know that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was different from the death of everybody else? Actually, we don't die. Better explain that, huh? James chapter 2. Verse 26. Thank you. Verse 26 of James chapter 2. The spiritual, the biblical definition of death. As the body without the spirit is dead. Do we get that? When the spirit and the soul leave the body, you're dead. So faith without works is dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ died differently from everybody else. Let me give you a little example of what I mean. Our death is passive. We don't die. We become dead. A man goes to bed at night because he says, I'm going to bed. The alarm rings at 6 in the morning. He hears, he says, I'm getting out of bed. He goes to the bathroom. He brushes his teeth and he shaves and he combs. He says, I'm going to. Then he comes to his closet. I'm going to wear this outfit. Then he goes for breakfast. I want one egg boiled and one egg fried. Now, he decides all that, see? He decides that. Then he goes to work and he says, I'm not going to drive today. I'm going to take public transportation. He decides that, right? At lunchtime, he decides, I'm going to have a salad and a piece of meat. He decides that. He comes home and he has supper. I want a chicken wing and a slice of tomato. He decides that. He takes his shower. He goes to bed. And at 2 o'clock, he died. Did he? Did he decide that he was going to die? No, no. He became dead. We don't die. You read of men and women giving their lives for the country. No, no, they don't give. We don't give our lives. It happens to us. Oh, but my Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, where shall we read? John chapter 10. We don't die, we become dead. We have no say in the matter. But oh my Lord. John 10 and verse 18. Read it carefully and see if you can do this. No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. Can you do that? Can you decide I'm going to die and lay your life down and then pick it up again? No. The chief character, God Himself. And when we come to His death was unique. the only death of its kind. Millions have died the death of the unrepentant thief. Other millions will die the death of the repentant thief. But only one person died the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid down his life and then he took it up. He's the chief character. How do you like him? And he's my Lord, by the way. Some Lord, isn't he? Aren't you glad he's your Lord? It thrills me. They're warning us about the enemy and what he might do. Whatever the enemy does, I'm going to be with the Lord. He's my Lord. Millions will die the death of the unbelieving thief. Another millions will die the death of the believing thief. But never again will one die the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thief died in sin. The other thief died to sin. The Lord Jesus Christ died for sin. What do you think of him? How do you like him? Oh, we should cherish him. The chief character of the Bible. Another interesting thing. The two chief characters of this land and of the better part of the world are named after the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas and Easter. Did that ever occur to you? Who decided that? The two chief holidays in this land and in many parts of the world are named after the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's some men who have wanted the calendar named after them. There's some men, look it up when you go home. Why? July has 31 days and August has 31 days. Look up the reason why. Because Augustus was jealous of Julius. So he took one day out of February. That's why February is short of a day. You think they were children the way they were playing. But my Lord, he didn't ask anybody to name Christmas after him. And he didn't ask anybody to name Easter after him. And yet the two most celebrated holidays in the United States and in the better part of the world are celebrated for my Lord. The chief man in the Bible. Then another thing. I think I will close with this. And I have to be very careful. Whenever I speak on this subject, I'm severely reprimanded. Christmas. Now, I didn't tell you don't celebrate Christmas. I just think that it's a foolish holiday. Why do you celebrate Washington's birthday? Because he was born on February 22nd? Is that why you celebrate? A whole lot of people were born on February the 22nd. Why do you celebrate Washington's birthday on the 22nd? Because of what he did. Why do you celebrate Lincoln's birthday on February the 12th? Not because he was born on the 12th. I know a number of people who were born on the 12th. We don't celebrate their birthday. We celebrate Lincoln's birthday on the 12th of February because of what he did. If you are going to celebrate the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't celebrate it because he was born. Celebrate it because of what he did. Does that make sense? And what did he do? To me, that's what Christmas is. Now, I didn't tell you don't celebrate it. I remember back in New York years ago, I made the same statements I'm making here, and a brother came to me and said, "What shall we do on Christmas?" I said, "Tell them why he died. Tell them the cause, what he performed, what he did. That's what Christmas should be about." I've spoken long enough about my man, the chief man in the Bible. Let us sing, please. I have here number 270. I hope we know it. There is no name on earth so sweet, no name so sweet in heaven, the name before his wondrous birth to Christ the Savior given. We love to sing of Christ our King and hail him, blessed Jesus. For there's no word ear ever heard so sweet, so dear as Jesus. Is that true? You've enjoyed him as I have. The sweetest name on earth. The sweetest name in heaven. The chief character of the Bible. The only one of his kind. What a man. What a Savior. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence. We come through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We worship thee at this hour. We remember with joy our Lord Jesus Christ and thank thee for giving him for us. We thank thee for thy precious word. So many gems, so many thrills in thy word. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit who teaches us thy word. And now as we depart from this sacred enclosure, let thy presence be with us. Take us home in peace and safety, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Enjoy the Lord, folks. Enjoy.